Rusty Quill presents.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
If there are two wolves inside of you, I sincerely hope you're either deceased or a possessed wolf enclosure. Welcome back to Spirit Box Radio. Hello, faithful listeners. I hope those of you in the Northern Hemisphere are enjoying the time of the winter solstice, and those of you in the Southern Hemisphere are enjoying the height of summer. Aren't seasons weird? Anyway, this is an obligatory reminder that pentagrams should be removed from the tops of trees before burning. If you've brought a real fir or pine tree into your home for the festive period and you've been experiencing any arcane disturbances, try making a salt ring around the base of the tree. Any old table salt will do, just make sure you don't leave any gaps. If you have pets like I do, it can be challenging to keep salt lines unbroken, so a good tip is to drizzle a line of PVA glue on the ground in a circle and pour the salt on that. Pets might still be interested, and consuming a lot of salt can be bad for them, so you'll need to be vigilant. And also, pouring PVA glue onto hardwood or carpet is probably going to permanently damage your floors. You could try making a ring of paper around the base of the tree and pouring salt on that. The good thing about that method is that it's reusable. Just fold it up and store it away with the rest of your decorations. A more advanced version of this would be to make a tree skirt out of a piece of fabric. Make your skirt out of a length twice the width of what you need and fold it over to make a sort of giant, scrunchy looking thing. Pour enough salt in that it settles at the bottom of the tree skirt in an unbroken ring, and so closed. Make sure you arrange your tree skirt so that the salt falls in an even circle around the tree though. You'll have to watch out for the salt shifting by adjusting the skirt every few hours, as unlike with other methods, this salt line is completely hidden. Thank you all for your solstice well wishes on the forums, everyone. Kitty's away for Christmas this year, and Anna is spending the day with her fiancé, but don't worry, I won't be alone. Oliver is coming over to spend the day with me and the cats. It's going to be lovely. I actually have my sister Anna here with me today. Thanks for being here, Anna.
I have no clue how you managed to talk me into this.
Me neither, to be honest, but I am glad you're here.
Well, thanks. What do you even want me to do?
I thought we could talk about the impossible house.
Absolutely not.
Why?
It's not that I don't want to.
Then what?
I don't want to say the wrong thing.
What do you mean?
A lot happened that night, and I'm not sure how to talk about any of it. What do I say? Where do I start? How could I possibly?
Well, from the discussion on the forums, it seems like you and Kitty were walking around for a while before you found me. And you said you'd been looking for me for hours.
That's because we had been. Sam, I want to help you. I really do.
This will help me.
Now? Like this?
What do you mean?
On air?
Yeah. I don't know where to start explaining it all, you know? But basically it's like, I think that the faithful listeners, they're sort of... It's like they can help spot things when I don't spot them. It's more than that, I think, but I don't know how to explain it. I feel more together when I'm broadcasting. can't think as clearly when I'm not.
I'm worried about you.
I know. I'm worried about me too.
Well, that's a start, I suppose.
I worry about you too.
Whatever for?
I don't know. It's just everyone else. Me, Kitty, Oliver. We all believed before we got trapped in that house. But you...
I'm the resident skeptic.
Exactly.
Well, I'm fine.
Are you?
Yes.
You don't seem fine.
Well, I suppose I'm not. Not really, but it's manageable. And that's fine.
Well, if I can help.
It's fine, Sam.
Okay. Well, I'm here if you want to talk about it.
I used to talk to you all the time, you know.
What?
Yes, when you were asleep all those years, I'd go and sit with you and just talk. Kitty's not the greatest conversationalist, and talking to Em was trying to get blood from a stone, and, well, maybe this is insensitive to say, but it wasn't like you could interrupt or walk away mid-conversation, so I'd just sit, and I'd talk to you.
I never knew that.
No. I wondered if a part of you remembered. You talk so freely with me still, even though we have our disagreements.
I don't know. Maybe it's subconscious.
Maybe.
Hey, I'm not asleep now, look. I'm here. I'm alive. I'm awake and everything.
Yes, indeed.
What?
What?
You're looking at the scars again.
Sorry.
It's fine. They're pretty eye-catching.
You can say that again.
For me, I fell and landed on the ground, found a microphone, and moments later you wandered past the door. So before you found me, what happened?
I don't remember falling, actually. I must have fainted or something, because for me, we were in the basement studio, everything was swirling around us, and you were chanting or something, and I couldn't understand what you were saying, and there was this awful sound like metal rending, and then... I woke up quite gently, surprisingly, because as soon as I moved, small pieces of rubble fell off me. It was strange, the texture of it. Dry concrete sand mixed with ash. Gritty on my fingers, but leaving a chalky dust behind. I got up and knew pretty much immediately that I was in the bathroom of our old house. Or, well, the impossible house. Of course, I'd seen it collapse before my eyes, so... At first I thought I must have been dreaming, except it wasn't a dream, because when I said it aloud, I knew that was wrong, except it wasn't wholly wrong, it was really happening, but it wasn't wholly real,
It was arcane.
Yes, exactly. And the moment I realized that, it was like this intense pain right in my temples. I think it was because, well, I don't know. Really. It was hard to think clearly. It was like the whole house, in some way, was lying.
Huh.
Oh, I know it makes no sense.
Doesn't it? Because to me it makes a lot of sense. That's the arcane, right? It's obscure. That's its whole deal. So it makes sense that your mojo would be off because you're all about truths and quantifiables.
I didn't see any of it happen with my own eyes. I didn't. All I saw was you and... And you come out and you've got this gash in your throat and you shouldn't have been standing. You were drenched in blood. But there you were, waffling away, and the scar has been growing and growing.
It seems to have stopped now. It hasn't changed for a few weeks. Well, 4 weeks, actually, since I got the show back.
I don't care if it stopped. It shouldn't have been doing that at all.
So you thought what?
I don't know what you are.
Anna...
Well, I don't. You're my brother. I love you to death. But I have no idea what's happening with you. And you don't know either.
I'm trying to figure it out.
I know. I know you are. It's just...
Well, I'm alive, and I'm human, and I still have absent seizures, and I still can't remember anything except the stuff directly to do with Madame Marie's arcane maze, and that's weird because I shouldn't know about that at all because I'm certain she never bloody told me about it, and it's even weirder because I don't even know about all of it. I'm still me, except now I've got some kick-ass scars.
You're still having seizures.
Oh, I mean, I take my medication, but from time to time it happens. Stress, you know. Everything is made of stress. Why do you look relieved? The amount of times I've dropped an entire cup of tea or just not got on the bus. It's a pain in the arse.
You are brave, you know.
Not really. This is just my life, Anna. It's yours too. And I don't even remember half of it. Or, well, most of it.
It all came out wrong. I'm sorry.
It's fine. But you can talk to me about this stuff, you know?
About most things, yes. But you. How do I talk to you about you?
By asking questions. How much less worried could you have been if you'd asked me questions?
You're right. I know you're right.
But you don't like it.
I do. It's just... Oh, I completely forgot. The show is still airing, isn't it?
Yeah. You agreed to come on.
I know I did, but that was to talk about the house, not... all this shit!
I know. I'm sorry.
I don't run my mouth off like this usually. Not when we're just having a conversation, but... This is ridiculous. I can't bloody shut up. I should go, probably.
But we've hardly started talking. The faithful listeners...
I know. And I'll talk to you about it when they're not there. They're your listeners, Sam, not mine. And I don't want to do this on the air. I don't like it.
I'm sorry.
It's fine. It's just... It doesn't matter. I'll speak to you on Saturday. We could have lunch?
I don't want to have lunch, Anna. I want to understand what's happening. Don't you want to understand?
I'm sorry. I'm trying.
Okay. Lunch on Saturday. She's very bloody trying. Oh, I'm not being fair. Neither is she, but... Ugh, siblings. Anyway, it's her birthday soon, so I should think about what I'm going to get for her. Hang on a minute. Birth dates. That's it, that's what they are. Birth dates. The logs in the journals, that's what they've been. Oh my gods. The people the birthdays belong to. That entry I read to you all the first week I was back on air that was about a confirmed impossible child. A couple of other stories or anecdotes or whatever, they mention impossible boys, impossible girls, impossible children. Jinghua, her friend Ellen, the impossible children who don't age or grow. And there was that letter about Maria Gillespie, the girl who had been 7 years old for decades. Oliver said the impossible children were similar to what happened to him, but not exactly. He said he was the way he is because of his hubris. He made a deal. All the Major Arcana did, but the Impossible Children aren't Major Arcana. They crop up here and there in Arcanist texts. They don't age, but they can die. There are a couple of accounts of them being burnt as witches, actually. It's really sad. So, the journals are some sort of log of Impossible Children? Maybe Madame Marie was looking for impossible children and her grandmother was too, but why? I suppose it could just be about the man in the flat cap's deals to try and understand them, but surely you'd go for the Major Arcana first. Maybe they did. Maybe there were other journals about that which we just didn't find. Still, it seems weird, you know? Well, that's Arcanism, I suppose. Maybe... Last week when I asked the true Arcanist Tara about the journals. Bank card, Echo, the man in the flat cap. What did that mean? It doesn't seem to make sense. How does dates help us work this out? What if the order we drew the cards was important? Like when you do a tarot spread, the location of each card in the spread gives it a different sort of meaning. In some three-card tarot spreads, the cards represent past, present, and future, but not always. And I still don't exactly know what each card here is supposed to represent. An echo is like a faulty repeat or a warped mirror. Like when I was talking into the crystal ball and it kept saying what I said back, just a little bit different. and the man in the flat cap. So it starts with nothing, the blank card, and then an echo, and then the man in the flat cap. Yes, thank you for your help, Revel, darling. Maybe I wasn't specific enough in my question, and that's why this answer doesn't make sense. What was it I asked? What are these journals? Okay, connect with the cards. Connect with the cards. Specific question. Why was Madame Marie using these journals to look for the impossible children? Blank card. Another blank card and another metal card. The skull and a crown of roses. And, oh, okay, well, now just the whole deck is glowing. Wait. No. The whole deck apart from the man in the flat caps card. Great. Well, that was unhelpful. I may as well have not asked at all. I suppose I'll ask Oliver, but I don't like to bother him with questions like this. Recently he seemed... I don't know. He seems happier, I think. Sometimes I wake up and he's making breakfast, humming a little tune. He sleeps, curled up like a cat. But sometimes I catch him looking off into the distance, and it's like he's not really there. And I can feel this... I don't know. This deep, branching sadness. He tries to keep it from me, but he's not very good at it, and I worry. There's so much he can't say. I don't want to add to any burdens he's already carrying. I want this, us, to be as good for him as it is for me, because I... One day at a time, I suppose. I think that's all we have time for today, faithful listeners. I shall speak to you again next week, on the eve of New Year's Eve. Thanks for tuning in, and I bid you a restful night. Spirit Box Radio is a podcast created by Pippin Aram Major, distributed by Hanging Source Studios under a Creative Commons non-commercial share alike 4.0 international license. This episode starred Pippin Aram Major as Sam, Alex Paliber Richardson as Anna, and an assortment of cats as Revel. Find more info at hangingsourcestudios.com and consider supporting the show on patreon.com/hangingsourcestudios for early access to new episodes and shiny bonus content. Spirit Box Radio is recorded in front of a dead studio audience.
Tune in, get spooky.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.